Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 5, text 117. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Asman vahaya kutrapi yatram sa kurute prabhu nahitad bhukam asmakam drishte tvasmin apavraje. Sometimes the Lord abandons us to go on a journey. This gives us distress that even when we, such distress that even when we see him again, the pain does not go away. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Taksurum Militam Yena Kasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha Vairagya Yug Bhakti Visham Payatnai Apayama manabipsamandam kripambuhiya paraduka duki sanatanastam prabhamastvayami pancha kalpa tarubhyascha vipashindu vaye vicha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Austin, Texas. I'm a little visit to Texas this past week. Just came from Houston. I'm in Austin, staying with Ekachakra Nityaseva. And Mahamuni is nearby. He came over with his family. First time yesterday, I met his beautiful children. How old are they? What? Three or four. I haven't seen them. Okay, so we're in the, of course, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narada's search for the topmost recipient of God's mercy, which means the one who has the most intimate relationship, because mercy or affection cause the mercy of a superior, the mercy of another person is their affection. So Narada is on this search for the person or persons who have the most forceful and intimate love. And we've had a little progression. Nice question was brought up by Gail. There doesn't seem to be such a distinction between the love of the Pandavas and the love of the Yadavas, you know, because it's so intimate. In both cases, the forcefulness of their love inspires Krishna to take a subordinate position. And they're glorified for the intimacy of that exchange. course, the concept is also always that God manifest, at least in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, God manifests in divinity to satisfy the affection and love of those who worship him as supreme, checks his revelation of his more intimate side. That's why Krishna has the most qualities of any manifestation of God. The same absolute reality, but Krishna means God manifests fully in love. And with that full manifestation of love comes the varieties of relationships that are not there when one takes the position of the divine, which excludes intimate relationships. It limits the relationships to servitude. So, prema madhurya, such a variety of relationships and love, which naturally manifest into lila madhurya, such a variety of pastimes in various relationships. Intimate pastimes, Krishna as Mukunchor, he stole the butter, the Ras Lila, so many. And then Rupa Madhurya, the beauty that comes when God opens his heart in those intimate loving relationships, and Rupa Madhurya, the music that is shared intimately from the heart as Krishna plays his flute. So the Pandavas and the Yadus, they're very, very similar. But one of the distinctions that's going to come out clearly is the Yadus, Krishna, Narada's, the Pandavas are pointing to the Yadus as more greater recipients of Krishna's mercy because Krishna is staying with them. And the Yadavas will point to Uddhava, because when Krishna goes, he takes Uddhava. So Uddhava is considered more intimate. Of course, we're going to discuss that today. Uddhava is a special devotee outside of Braj. He has such an intimacy outside of Vrindavan. Krishna manifests his majesty, and therefore the love and devotion, even among his parents, Devaki and Vasudev, is mixed with some reverence. Mother Yasoda never offers prayers. Devaki offers prayers. They have some glimpse of God's divinity. And Uddhava, he's very intimate. He's called Parishat. There's different types of servants. The Parishat is the servant who is intimate. It's like a servant becomes the confidant. And Uddhava's position, as we're going to read today, is very, very exalted in that regard. It's sankul. It's mixed with a sense of friendship and intimacy. And therefore, he can even send Uddhava to Vrindavan, who can see aspects of Krishna's romantic life, which is not appropriate to be shared in a relationship of reverence. When you have a relationship of reverence for someone, they don't share their romantic life. It's not appropriate for that relationship. So Uddhava is going to be a very special person. So the Pandavas, they point to the Yadavas, and Krishna sufficiently has glorified, Narada sufficiently glorified the Yadavas. But naturally, the Yadavas are reluctant to accept that glorification and praise. Anything that has a scent of putting oneself in the center is a devotee is hesitant for that position, because love from your heart doesn't flow when you make yourself the object of worship. And therefore, a devotee is very reluctant to accept that position. Because when you're glorified, you are the greatest, you are the greatest, you are the greatest. It's if you flow with that praise, you're moving yourself as the object of worship. And love flows from the subject of worship. So the devotee is very reluctant to accept. A real Vaishnava, he really avoids being put in that position. He avoids being glorified. And when he has to accept such a position, it's clearly in his mind that he's doing it as servant. And his prime identity is service of his guru and Krishna. And therefore, good advice for someone who's taking that position, you know, don't think you're a guru, but do it as a service for your guru. Because if you develop any other identity that I'm actually the object of worship, if you don't develop that transparency and that mood and attitude that I am taking the center for service, and you actually become in the illusion that you're in this center, then you're not in a position, you're not in your constitutional position. Because the constitutional position of a devotee is to be a receptacle of love. He's ashraya. The devotee is ashraya. Ashraya means the subject or the shelter. The shelter of what? The shelter of devotion. So naturally, the Ugrasena and the Yadavas, they want to shun the praise, but they're in a little bit of a dilemma. Because, one, they don't want to contradict Narada, who is their guru. They don't want to contradict Narada, who is their guru. And Narada is saying, you have these qualities. They don't want to do that. And they don't want to minimize Krishna's power of mercy to the devotees. So we actually discussed that point before, that therefore a devotee has a way where he can humbly acknowledge the qualities he has in relationship to Krishna's mercy. And he can see that constitutionally, that the qualities he has, they're made of Krishna's mercy. The abilities and qualities are not necessarily the soul. Or if you look at it as the soul is part of Krishna. It's Krishna's energy. And they look at Krishna as that's called the material cause, the efficient cause. Krishna is moving through them. They may be the instrument. Or it's just like, let's say, somebody carves a very, very beautiful piece. So the knife is not responsible. But in one sense, I mean, the knife is very, very sharp. So it may be a very, very good knife. Okay, but someone says the qualities itself of intelligence, strength, beauty, etc., the substance of that's God. And the efficient cause, then carving, how it's used, how your qualities are used, that's also God. So the devotee is very happy with that conception. Very happy with conception, because the devotee's prime service is to be a please God by being a receptacle for God's bhakti or devotion. That's the prime service. So it gives the pandav, the yadus, an opportunity to glorify Krishna's mercy. Glorify Krishna's mercy. When I was preparing this morning, I was looking at one purport, and I thought, there's sentences that are a challenge of our faith. It's or a test of our faith. It doesn't have to be a challenge, but it says that they're glorifying the unconditional love of Krishna. That's why we have qualities. And it's very nice in this purport. It says, Krishna is not satisfied merely with fulfilling the ambitions of his devotees. He likes to bestow upon his devotees more than they even desire. Intelligent person should take quality of this shelter, of this great quality of his, which is like a vast, deep ocean. Vast, deep, which is like a vast ocean, deep and certain. And now this. Krishna's mercy need not take long to achieve, and it pays little regard to the qualification of those who receive it. That's our challenge. The experience of Krishna's mercy and understanding what Krishna's mercy is. Interesting. As Narada said, as soon as one remembers Krishna, one's success is guaranteed. So, therefore, the Pandavas say, it's nothing unique in terms of, we're nothing special. Krishna's mercy, it's undeserved. Krishna's mercy can come. It can come quickly. It can come to anyone. And Krishna's not paying so much regard to the qualification of the person to receive it, and it does not take long to achieve. It's almost like the that story that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta would tell of the wedding party, where they people go to sleep at night expecting to arrive in the morning at their destination, and when they get up, they look around in their same place, and they go to the boatman, and they said, what happened? He said, I don't know, I rode all night. But then they look, oh, the anchor hasn't been pulled. So it's that type of concept, that the effort may be there. We may not feel, well, how is Krishna merciful if our effort is there? But the real question is, have we become a receptacle for mercy? Have we pulled up the anchor? It's that surrender is such it's a challenging thing. It's a simple thing. Prabhupada said what? He said the process is simple. The application is difficult. Therefore, I've seen sometimes, when I was in India, and I would see highly qualified people come with so many abilities, discipline, yogis, everything. But the qualification of heart, the faith in Krishna, which means the faith in Krishna's shelter, that in that shelter, we're complete. In that shelter, we're complete. full love is in our heart. And that's what the soul is. The soul is hankering for full love. In that relationship with Krishna, in that surrender to Krishna, in that dependence of Krishna, full love is in my heart. So, they have this kind of faith. And now what happens with the Yadavas, because they can't deny the glories, because they cannot contradict Narada, who's guru. So what they do is they try to minimize the glories that are given to them subtly by pointing to someone else. And that's the verse today. It's the Yadavas. And he says, sometimes the Lord abandons us to go on a journey. This gives us such distress that even when we see him again, the pain does not go away. So they want to point to Uddhava. They want to point to Uddhava, who is greater because Krishna is with them. Najanima kada kutra puna esha vajariti Uddhava nityam abhyarne nivasam sevate prabhum. We cannot be sure when he might go somewhere else, but Uddhava is always by his side, serving Lord Krishna, his master, and residing with him. Sometimes the Lord, the personality of Godhead, sends Uddhava on missions on which the Lord himself should go. For example, the Lord sent him to gain the release of Sambha, whom the Kauravas had taken captive. So Krishna sends him on confidential missions. There are some things in one's heart that are not appropriate for others, because they may misunderstand it. It's not appropriate for others because it may leave you vulnerable. So one doesn't reveal the depths of one's heart to everyone. And if you do reveal the depths of your heart to someone, it indicates that you have implicit trust and confidence in them. So Krishna is giving Uddhava, and this is what the Ugrasena and the Yadavas are pointing to, his exalted quality. He's giving Krishna, giving Uddhava confidential missions. And of course, it was mentioned here in the purport that he's not revealing that Krishna. He's not revealing that Krishna sent Uddhava to see the residents of Vrindavan, to see the gopis, because it's too confidential for the audience. And that's such a principle of communication, that you do not speak things which others do not have the frame of reference to understand. A communicator can't tolerate something being misunderstood. Or anybody with realization, they can't tolerate something being misunderstood. So there's certain things that, even though they're truths, other people would not have a capacity to understand. So in this assembly, Ugrasena, because other people are listening, he can't explain Uddhava and the gopis. Even in the Bhagavatam, those subjects are in the 10th canto. And there's 9 other cantos that give one the frame of reference to understand it. So it's considered, one goes progressively, because two things affect one's understanding. One's attachments affect one's understanding, and one's lack of knowledge affect one's understanding. So if you hear the intimate pastimes of Krishna without a frame of reference, then you can misunderstand them as mundane or mythological. Even though they're not mundane, they're completely transcendental, they're not mythological, they're historical. But without the frame of reference, one will hear them in a wrong way. So naturally, the Ugrasena wanting to reveal how close and confidential Uddhava is to Krishna, he chooses another story where Uddhava was sent on a mission to gain the release of Samba, the son of Krishna, whom the Kauravas have taken captive. And this is also the ecstasy of that relationship. The ecstasy of servitude is getting order. The ecstasy of servitude is waiting for that order. And it increases that form of love. Uddhava stays alone with Krishna when the Lord playfully enjoys his meals. So he is the only person who can always obtain the Lord's Mahaprasada remnants. This tattva of Mahaprasada, it's such a deep thing, how food offered to the Lord actually becomes accepted, becomes completely spiritual. But like all spiritual phenomena, the ability to experience that spiritual phenomena requires faith. The holy name is not different than Krishna. And when chanted with faith, one realizes it as Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam, if heard once, can Krishna can appear in one's heart. But it doesn't happen when everyone hears, but when one with faith and full faith, full trust, full confidence, hears the spiritual phenomena. And same thing with Mahaprasada. Narada Muni, when he took it just once, he became completely purified of sin, because it requires a prerequisite of faith. So, of course, Sanatana Goswami appreciates Mahaprasada. The Kauravas, the Ugrasena, they think this is significant. And Uddhava, he's relishing the remnants of Krishna's plate. So it's also so intimate. With great pleasure, Uddhava massages the master's lotus feet and then happily falls asleep with the Lord's feet on his lap. Again, a very, very intimate service that indicates Uddhava's closeness to Krishna. When the Lord goes out for confidential pleasures, Uddhava sometimes goes with him. When Uddhava serves as the Lord's minister in this assembly hall, his precious gems of advice and his flood of witty and charming comments earn abundant praise from Sri Hari. They also delight all of us and fulfill our desires. So Radha is the topmost devotee. And why is she the topmost devotee? Is she loves Krishna and she has the full capacity to please Krishna. There's a relationship in the spiritual world to one's attributes and one's love. Because of one's love, then one is imbued with certain attributes as expressions of that love. So Radharani, she has beautiful jewelry, and it's the most exquisite jewelry. She has two types of decorations, alankar and avaram. Avaram is the markings that the women put on their body, the Hindi and the Hindu, the face painting. And the alankar is the jewels. But the nature of Radharani is she is Mahabhav Sarupini. She is the love of Krishna intensified. And therefore, love means you want to please. And one aspect of pleasing is to please someone's senses. So Radharani wants to look beautiful, so she has a jewel to decorate herself. But the jewel is not different than her. The jewel is what is Radharani? Radharani is Shakti. It's the potency of Krishna to please Krishna. And the expression of that Shakti is you should be happy. So the jewels of Radharani are the composition of that love. They're for Krishna. They're for Krishna's pleasure. And then they manifest in all their splendor and beauty. So Radharani has so many transcendental qualities. She's her beauty defeats the forest of blue lotus flowers. She's a scholar in the art of garland making. Her eyes are always moving. She has all beautiful qualities, but her qualities are with the intention to please Krishna. And they're composed of the intention to please Krishna. And therefore, they're the same exact Shakti as Radharani. Radharani is the Purna Shakti, it's mentioned. And what is Shakti? I mentioned this many times. I was writing about it this morning. Shakti is energy. Energy is to please its source. Therefore, the essence of all Shakti is to give pleasure. Therefore, the essence of all Shaktis is the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency. And what's the essence of the pleasure potency? It's Krishna praying. And when Krishna praying is intensified to the highest degree, that's Mahabhav. Srimati Radharani is Mahabhav Sarup. She's the embodiment of that intention that Krishna should be pleased. And how is Krishna pleased? By love. And how is love expressed? Love is expressed in beauty. There's a direct correlation between beauty and beautiful sound and beautiful sight and beautiful touch and beautiful fragrance. Radharani is so fragrant that when she hides in a forest of magnolias, it's called Stala Kamala, land lotus in Sanskrit. When she's hiding in a forest of magnolias, Krishna walks by and says, oh, where's Radharani? So that concept that her love is embodied in the intention to please and all her qualities are pleasing to the intense degree. And when Krishna smells the fragrance, because that fragrance is only existing because of Radharani's intention to make Krishna happy. Radharani, when Krishna smells Radharani, he experiences her love. So all the devotees have different attributes and qualities in the spiritual world that are manifestations of their desire to please Krishna. And when Krishna experiences that, he experiences their love. Just like there's certain devotees, it's called, what is it called? A Sarupya Mukti. They take the same form as Krishna. Their form is to be beautiful companions of Krishna. So when Krishna walks, he walks with an entourage of very attractive people. But it's for Krishna. It's just like if you walk with someone that you love, and, you know, it's a worshipable person, then, you know, if someone may dress nicely, but it's an expression of love. It's just like, I have one friend, I will not reveal who he is, but when he goes to Janmashtami, and then he sees people in t-shirts and dungarees, he wonders, do they love Krishna? You know, are you respecting Krishna? Are you loving Krishna? Not saying they have to wear dhotis or saris, but do they dress clean and respect? Is that their consciousness is? The question is, it's if they're Krishna conscious and they're thinking to please Krishna. You know, maybe a person's an avadut. Okay, I got it. But if they're thinking to please Krishna, do they dress in a nice way? Coming to Krishna's birthday. So there's people that look beautiful and dress beautiful and reside on Krishna's planet. And that's their pleasure for Krishna. And Krishna's seeing them, they become happy. I don't mind they wear dungarees, but when they wear tight dungarees, that's too much. And the worst is when an elderly, respectable Indian does it. Because how do you understand that one? Especially with Van Ashram, they're Levi's, they're the clothes of the Sudras. Just joking. I call them dungarees. I don't. Maybe people don't even understand what I'm talking about. Jeans, Levi's. I grew up; they were called dungarees. You know, it was the brand name becomes the thing. Okay, it takes me a little time to. So look at Uddhava advice. Can you imagine the love Krishna's feeling? His precious gems of advice, and a flood of witty and charming comments. It's just pleasing. Now his humor. His charming, witting. What can be said of his continuous and good fortune? Since childhood, he has been so absorbed in the taste of serving his master's lotus feet that foolish people call him a madman. So, bhakti is from the heart. It's spontaneous. It moves on its own. Sometimes it doesn't even, it's not consciously following Shruti and Smriti. It says like even when you have bhakti, you can move and you're blind and you will not slip. Because love directs you in that way. It's just like Lord Chaitanya in South India, Dik, what direction he was going, he's moving in that way. And in intense love, If you consider what samadhi is in classical samadhi, is reading the different stages, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So dharana, if the object, dharana means the first, in Ashtanga yoga, first five stages are considered external, even pratyahara, because they're engaging more with the senses. Even pratyahara is to make yourself completely aloof from the senses. And when that happens, then dharana, you're able to concentrate. But in the concentration of dharana, if the object of your attraction is in your presence, you can be allured. When the meditation is deeper and you're at the stage of dhyana, then you will not be distracted even if the object of your attraction comes before your senses. And it's also described that dharana is like a faucet where the water is coming out intermittently, and when it finally comes to the full flow, then that's called dhyana, as compared to intermittent, you know, it's basically levels of maturity. It's one thing. Interesting, though, too, that yogis, it's kind of revving up an engine. They don't go directly to samadhi. It's like something like where you focus. They go dharana, dhyana, samadhi, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. It's called Samana, I think, yeah. Dharanadan Samadhi, they focus like this. And what is Samadhi? I think there's three objects. There's the object of knowledge, there's the idea of knowledge, and there's the subject of knowledge. So they have this concept in Samadhi, in the yogic, that basically you're just experiencing the object. But even in Bhakti, the concept is that one loses themselves. That you forget the person who's reflecting. Even the higher meditations of Radha and Krishna, there's descriptions that Radharani is forgetting she's Radharani. She's just so focused on Krishna. Krishna becomes her. She's Krishnamayi. What Krishnamayi means is that the consciousness is filled with Krishna. It's such a deep meditation. That's all in Radharani's consciousness is Krishna, not her self-identity. And the same thing happens to Krishna. I've never heard the term, but I wonder why there's not a term Radhamayi. His consciousness is filled with, you forget yourself. So it's possible in higher stages of devotion that you're not acting according to social expectations. And in fact, it's described that one's laughing, one's crying. So Uddhava, it's called Vatula. Vatula means insane, but it has a medical term. Suffering mentally from imbalance of the air. That's generally what the mental vata constitutions. It's more difficult mentally. It's moving so quick. So Uddhava, entranced, oblivious to his surroundings. And therefore they saw him as someone that is haunted by a ghost. A person haunted by a ghost, he's oblivious to. So it's describing now, and this is the beauty of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that we're getting these different descriptions of devotion. But as devotees, we see them as love. We understand that they're born of love. Therefore, we see love in the actions of the devotees. And therefore, sometimes people can't understand that a simple thing that a pure devotee does, it's glorified. It may seem ordinary to them, but the devotee feels this is moving by prema. This is moving by prema. And therefore, in the spiritual world, the least little thing that happens is a big thing, because it inspires love. And therefore, there's enthusiasm, there's devotion. That's the kind of atmosphere that people are searching for. an atmosphere of intense loving exchange, because that's the even I was reviewing again Rabindra Swarup Prabhu's Cure of the Souls, because in my doing this psychology of karma lecture, I got, you know, these things. So the astrologer sent me back one of the things. He said, don't tell this lady, but she's extraordinary godliness, extraordinary saintliness, and she has the same combination of the ninth house as Prabhupada. You know, when I did the readings, everybody understood. And then I called this lady over afterwards, and I told her a little bit about her chart, and then she wrote me. And, you know, I could understand that at a particular time she went crazy. And you know, according to the Cure of the Souls, this Anton Boysen, he did a research that, you know, that sometimes in intense mental illness, but not an absolute correlate, can be a response to the dichotomy between what someone sees as the problems of the soul and the life that they're in. You know, so this lady had this tremendous spiritual upsurge, but she's, you know, with a husband and three kids, and not having the knowledge or guidance to reconcile it. You know, I think it's described. He said, you know, that it could be the problems of the soul. What? Night of the soul. Yeah. The needs of the soul have become very intense. And when desires are unfulfilled in one's environment, to survive, if the way you're perceiving environment is so against what you want, so let's say there's an intense spiritual desire, and the way you see your environment is so much the way you don't want, it can alter perception of environment to keep one from that intense dissatisfaction, or, you know, there's a pressure. So there's something like that. So Uddhava, you know, obviously, you know, he was oblivious of his surroundings when he was young. And then, this is an amazing thing, just see how amazing is his great eagerness to surrender always at the lotus feet of Lord Madhava. He's even forgone the normal bodily features of a human birth and instead assumed a transcendental body resembling that of Sri Hari. So, vana also means color. So the traditional vanas, there were shades. So Uddhava was a kshatriya. So in that vana, the kshatriyas are usually a little bit lighter than the vaishyas. But Uddhava had Krishna's color. And it's also a very interesting point about love and absorption, how consciousness affects complexion. We know that with, you know, you have like the red with rage, the yellow with white with fright, blue with depression, green with envy. Then you have, you know, Krishna, you know, then the mood of Audarya. Krishna's complexion changes to Chaitanya. We have Krishna at Imlital meditating on Radha in separation from the Rasa dance and becoming golden. So you have this kind of correlation. And then what you have is you have the conception of mental absorption affecting one. And when you read the Yoga Sutras and understand how mystic power is there, you really understand so much more deeply the mind-body connection, because it's all the gunas. Body is the gunas, the mind is the gunas. And the external affects the internal so clearly. I mean, you just clean your room before you write, and your mind is more steady. It's profoundly different because they're always in flux. This seminar I give on environment and consciousness, it's always in flux. The morning, you wake up in the morning, because the whole environment is imbued in goodness. And goodness means sattva, the natural state of being. Like when something is rotten, it's in ignorance. Its natural state has been transformed. So goodness has a sense of its natural state. Therefore, in pure goodness, when one realizes prakriti in deeper states of meditation, when they get beyond just the object, you can meditate on ice, but then there's the elements, H2O. So yogis meditate more and more subtle. They come down to a meditation on prakriti, and they're in ecstasy. It's the original state of being, the original state of matter, even as an ecstatic state. So there's So what happens is everything's in flux, so the external affects the internal. That's why they even have that insect that meditates out of fear. It changes. It's so mystical, but it's all the same things. A yogi can become invisible, and how does he become invisible? By this samana, his meditation. They're able to transform internally their modes and combinations, and he can transform the subtle matter so it doesn't reflect light. Therefore, someone sees him, they can't see him because his body will not reflect light. So there's all kinds of subtle things. So you can actually perceive it's possible in intense devotion to have even a physical transformation. So Uddhava, it's described that his consciousness, that it's just so one. And that's even the concept, I once heard it, and one lecture in Vrindavan by one sadhu, that sisha means one who takes the mood of the guru. There's a concept in service that your internal self becomes the same. Because what does service mean? You take someone else's desires as your own. And what is a person? A person is their desire. So that's why meditating on saints is what it's supposed to be. Such a transformatory process. When you meditate on saints, it's supposed to be such a transformatory process because you're meditating on them means what? What is a saint? It's his desires. What is anybody? It's their attachments. It's their mind. So meditating on a person means to meditate on their mind. And you only meditate on a saint if that's the direction you're heading. That's what you aspire for. You meditate on a saint, you meditate on their qualities. You meditate on their qualities, then you take on those qualities naturally. So I think an intense absorption in meditation, there could be transformation like this. And of course, this is Leela. But it's connected in a Leela sometimes is connected in phenomena that people could access. So here we have the greatness of Uddhava. He's so one. That's why he's the company. You can't have someone who's your intimate servant who doesn't think like you. If they don't think like you, then it's a struggle. So you have a concept of a servant that he thinks like you. Even described initially, Bhakti Siddhanta, Ananta Vasudeva was very close to him at that time, and that when he would speak and he couldn't finish the lecture, Bhakti Siddhanta had to go. The person could just, he knew his mind, he could speak. The reason why Rupa Goswami is so glorified, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam, Why? Mino Bishtam. He understood the mind. Why do you understand? And because of that, then the other devotees said, oh, then now we understand why he knows all the poetry, why he can write this. He must have had Krishna's mercy. So that mercy is also the transference of the internal, the mood, the desires. And that can only be given to someone who has faith. They don't have faith, then their desires will get in the way. Because a saint's internal may be in friction with one's internal, one's desires. If a Pradyumna once told me, you know, sadhu sarg, friction with the sadhu. He gave some verse, you know, saying, sadhu sarg, you know, get that sadhu sarg, you get with the sadhu, you know, it's like a friction. It's a friction. So if the faith is not there, then one will side with one's own desires. Narcissistic means you always side with your own desires to an intense degree. I want this. This is the way it should be. That's why bhakti is difficult in one sense. You have to love and you have to accept the desires of God. And there may be sarg. There may be some friction. Got to stay with the sadhu. Sadhu sarg. I forgot what reference it was. But any time I'm with Pradyumna, I get a gem. You know, you got to get the. So then it's going to describe Buddha's beauty. And again, they only accept these things for the pleasure of Krishna. The Pandavas only accept their royalty and their opulence for the service of Krishna. And Uddhava, they accept their beauty for the service of Krishna. What would Krishna Leela be if the people surrounding Krishna were from Walmart? Anyway. It's a service. The service to keep fit, to look beautiful, to dress nicely. It's a service for Krishna. Of course, you can get some of those nice Walmart sweaters. Okay, I have an audience here, so I'm on another bhav here, another mood. Okay, we'll stop now. Anybody like to say hello or ask a question?
Well, Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hey, Gail. Hare Krishna.
I have both a comment and a question.
I like to hear your comment.
Well, I was just thinking about the Krishna Mayi versus Radha Mayi point that you made.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that in one sense, you can probably say that the reason why there aren't both terms is because it might be a little redundant since, you know, Radharani, all she thinks about is what Krishna wants. And so Radha Mayi means Krishna Mayi already, you know. Anyway, that was it.
No, I got to say another reason why there's not Radha Mayi.
Uh-huh.
Because Krishna thinks of others. Radharani only thinks of Krishna. Because Krishna has so many devotees.
Okay.
So that's another reason. But I just thought of that, you know. There's that term, Krishna Mayi. It's, you know, that the Mayi. Mayi also means, I think, absorption. So, Krishna, you know, Radha is so absorbed, her consciousness becomes Krishna. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's the question? Oh, yeah.
The question, I just needed to be a little clearer about the contest, you know, or why exactly King Ubhisena could not, you know, describe Uddhava in terms of, you know, how the gopis, you know, how that prevented him from connecting Uddhava with the gopis, and why the Samba story was more appropriate.
Okay.
Why couldn't he tell that in a more appropriate way?
Right. Sometimes I explain things, Gail, out of my logic and understanding, and sometimes I explain things by just quoting Shastra. So just let me read the Shastra. Krishna sent Uddhava on various missions to Gokula, to Hastinapur, and elsewhere. When Samba, Krishna's son, tried to elope with Duryodhana's daughter, the Kaurava army headed by Bhishma and Duryodhana captured Samba, and Uddhava was instrumental in arranging Samba's release. Narada avoids mentioning the journey to Vraja that Uddhava undertook for Krishna because it is too confidential to discuss in the open assembly at Dwarka. Uddhava enjoyed Krishna's association constantly, but when sent out to either rescue or console the Lord's dear devotees, Uddhava felt more satisfaction than by staying with Krishna. That's also a very interesting point, that the main thing is not to be with Krishna, it's to please Krishna. That's more more pleasure than being with Krishna, but the desire to please Krishna means that you want to be with Krishna. But this seems very simple. It's the assembly at Dwarka. Krishna is the king. He's married to 16,108 wives. And, you know, obviously, Ugrasena didn't want to tell about Krishna's romantic trysts, his parakya, his, you know, relationship with other ladies. That's not appropriate for the assembly. That seems pretty clear.
But this assembly was composed of exactly who?
The residents of Dwarka, the residents of Dwarka. Even sometimes the queens of Dwarka, if Krishna White wakes up at night, talk, you know, in his madness, saying Radha, 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 he doesn't reveal that even to the queens.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't talk openly about the gopis. Sometimes it came out. It's a very confidential thing. And even in ordinary relationships, even your parents or one's parents won't speak before the children certain things that, because the children have a particular reverent conception of the parents. So the parents may not reveal things that are more intimate because it's not within the frame of reference of the children, and it's not healthy with their relationship and love to the parents. Therefore, in an Indian house, some traditional Indian houses, the husband and wives have an inner quarter that is the only place that they exchange intimately. They don't do it around the children. For the relationship with the children. So there's a quarter that only the husband and wife go in a particular part of the house, and that's where they can intimately relate, but not in front of the children. That's a classical social thing in a high-class Indian family. It's a different type of mood, and they don't want to disturb that. So people have different sides that are appropriate for different relationships and are not appropriate for all relationships. Are they very, yeah. Okay, Gail, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Hare Krishna Govardhan. I'm still thinking about that invitation. I haven't settled yet what my schedule is. I'll get back to you soon. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I heard Henry and Shastra. Very nice. Hi, bro. Jai.
Hi.
Thank you. Anybody else? It's
Hare
nice.
This is Janava.
Hare Krishna, Janava. Very nice. It's just nice to hear from people in different ways. I should touch base with you and Mahatma just to share some of the things I'm doing is some really nice seminars in different places that are developing. Very good. Thank you. It's good.
Yeah.
It gives a sense of community. People appreciate that. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that? Nanda Dulal?
Yes, please accept my humble obeisances.
Haribo, Nanda Dulal. We should touch base soon also. Maybe today we can speak. Very good.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. We can end for today. Let's